Came and Wax, few minutes past 2 p.m. Here with you for about another hour. Then we'll turn it over to the pregame and Cardinal baseball at 4:15 against the D-backs. For some reason, on my TikTok, I started getting this lady that does like etiquette. And, you know, most of them, I'm like, yeah, okay, I can get down with that. And then today it was on how to properly eat a dip. And you're just a heathen if you take your chip and dip it in the dip. You take a spoon, you spoon up a bit of dip, you put it on your plate, and then you dip from there.
Yeah.
What? Why?
Yeah, if you're sharing dip with people, that's like the right way to do it. You guys saw when we had the toasted wraps. Now, toasted wraps is a bad example, the appetizer at lunch, because I ate all of those, I think.
Right.
I don't think anybody else had a single one.
But
you pour some on the plate, then you use that as your...
I feel like I've watched you eat dip out of the thing forever. Like when we go to Rosalita's?
He doesn't really use the salsa.
No, I don't use the salsa. Okay. I don't care for it. I like cheese dip.
There's a guy that looks a lot like you that has lunch with us.
I would go bananas. His name's Kevin. I would go bananas on the cheese dip.
But you would do the spoon?
If it was us, yeah, I would. If I was by myself, I'm just dipping out of the container. Okay. Or if I was with Megan, I would dip out of the container. Because it's like, you know, we're married, so
I'm not sure I'm understanding the problem if it's just a one dip and gone, you're not double dipping.
It's not as big of a problem, for sure.
Well, what is the problem if you don't double dip?
She didn't say.
You're getting real stretchy, getting real reachy with the communal food.
But if you're all, you know, it's just there and you just go, bleh, and eat it.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not like, you know, if I saw you like dipping in the cheese sauce or whatever and not double dipping, I wouldn't be like, Kevin's a heathen.
Because, man, I did that today. I just took the toasted wrap. I picked it up. I dunked it and I just put it in my mouth.
Yeah, I don't think there's really necessarily anything wrong with it.
Okay.
I just think it's like, when you're talking about etiquette, isn't that kind of like...
Next level.
Oh, and yes. Like when you're having like your tea, you got to have your pinky out, and then like which spoon is right.
Yeah, exactly. Like you're trying to make an impression.
Got it.
A little bit of...
I get what you mean. It's the show stuff.
Yeah.
But it's like, okay, the etiquette is if you're at a fancy party or something. I haven't been to too many fancy parties, but like, do they serve French onion dip there? Like, dip isn't really like a fancy app, right. You know?
That's a great... Yeah, is it the...
We made a buffalo chicken dip in the crock pot.
Giant 70-person spinach and artichoke dip from Applebee's.
Did you guys see the young men seated behind Donald Trump last night making fun of him during his speech?
No.
Oh, you have to Google it.
Okay.
There are these three guys. One's the ringleader. The other two are just laughing. They're right behind Trump. And the ringleader, the whole speech... Is doing this. Like everything that Trump would say, like if he'd say, it's the greatest. No,
he's doing the hands
and
everything.
No one's ever seen it before. He was mouthing it and he's doing this. Like he's clearly mocking him.
Okay, but like why? You were the one who wanted to go to the speech.
No, I mean, like maybe they did it just
seats.
To do that.
Yeah, my guess is that they're trying to get famous.
They're trying to get some sort of a career off the ground.
They probably have viral something. You know, they're probably influencers.
Yeah.
Which is so, it's such a bummer. Like back in the day, people would do that for the love of the game.
Yeah.
This guy
100% has like a meme coin that's coming out.
Yes. And it's a bummer because these things did used to happen and it wasn't, you know, people used to streak at a NFL game or whatever.
Just for the fun of it.
And now they got, you know, Kalshi spray painted on their butt or something.
Yeah.
And they're going to be making, $1,000 off of it.
I don't like that. I don't like that guy did that.
Disrespectful?
Yeah, to a degree, but also, like, this is what we are now? Like, we're just making faces behind the president?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, don't get me wrong. You know, we all know. I'm not exactly a fan of the dude, but it's like, it doesn't make you look good when you're just acting like a 12-year-old.
Yeah, it doesn't make me go, like, oh, cool.
He's like, oh,
it
yeah,
go, like,
owned it. No,
so
it's like, okay, bro.
Your
just...
whole week around, you right. applied for tickets, like, weeks in advance. You stood in line all day. That's, doesn't seem worth it to me.
Yeah.
But.
Well, I mean, I'm sure he'll probably get a lot of new followers when people figure out who he is.
Oh, he'll be on CNN tomorrow. Yeah.
Yeah, he'll have a TikTok that's like, so, yeah, that was
that
me.
That was me. Bill Maher made a good point to people like me. He said if you are spending any time at all thinking about the reflecting pool, the ballroom, or Trump's overall personality, then that's on you. It's not on the president anymore. It's been 10 years. Get over it.
All right, say that again.
That he only cares about Trump on things like the Iranian war. He doesn't care about the reflecting pool. He doesn't care if he knocks down the ballroom. He certainly doesn't care about his daily antics and just, you know, the president being the president. And that if any of us still do, if we still get mad about that, that it's our fault and we need to be better.
That's a pretty dumb take.
Well, he's an idiot.
And also, Bill Maher is entirely about himself. Because anything that bothers him, he's going to complain about it. But if it bothers something bothers someone else, he's like, your complaint's not as valid as my complaint because I'm smarter than you dummies. I think he makes some good points on a regular basis. I also think he's one of the most egocentric human beings on the planet who only cares about what he cares about. And he will happily tell you that the thing you care about doesn't matter, but the thing he cares about does matter.
I feel like I understand what he's trying to say, but he's putting it really inartfully. Because to say, like, oh, it's on you. Like, no, I'm not the one doing it. Maybe I should be, and I am, used to it after 10 years. Like, I've said on this show many times, I don't get surprised anymore when the president says something nasty about women or, you know, yells at a journalist or just any of this stuff. It doesn't really move my meter because it just falls into normal behavior for him. This is what I've grown to expect to see. But to say, like, if you allow that to bother you, it's your fault. I mean, would you say that if there was, like, a child at your child's school, bullying your child, like, well, you knew they were going to bully your kid, so at this point, if it bothers
you,
why
are you still mad about
it? It's still pretty victim-blamey to be like, you're actually the problem. It's like, well, I mean, I would argue that the behavior is the problem. The behavior is the problem.
I mean, I agree with this idea that the more important things are more important. I think we can all agree with that,
100%.
Right? 100%. But it doesn't mean that everyone should just be like, ah! That's just Donald being Donald when he's blaming other people and accusing other people of crimes for things that he and his dumb friends did. Like the reflecting pool. You and your dumb friends ruined it, and now you got to be like, nope, it's everyone else, and we're pressing charges. Dude, that's not... Nobody should be like, yep, that's okay, just ignore it, it's no big deal.
Barry says, at some point you have to live your best life and mostly worry about what you can control. I do agree with that. Maybe it's hard to take this advice from Bill Maher because he recently had dinner with the president. It's like, you're telling me to just like get over
it? Yeah, but see, like he's the guy that will go on a rant about why do people need to bring their kids everywhere? Because you can't go anywhere without your kids when you have kids, dummy. Just because you don't have them and don't care about it doesn't mean everybody else has got to follow along. But you're going to sit there and complain about it. Take your own advice. Don't complain about it. You'll be better off. It's the hypocrisy for Maher to me that annoys me. It's not so much what he's saying. Because, again, he's the first guy to complain about anything that chaps his own butt. But if it bothers someone else and not him, well, then that thing's just not valid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you summed it up right there. Mm-hmm. That's why I've been not such a fan over the years.
Take a hard left turn here. Andrew, you want to talk about hazard lights downtown?
Yeah, okay. So I know we talk about this like once a week, but I can't stop myself from talking about it when it happens. It happened to me like three. So I came down here, got some stuff done before we went to lunch today. So it's not far from here to if you're downtown, you're really just getting on 64. So you don't have to go a huge distance. I encountered three cars that were stopped in the middle of the lane with their hazard lights on, just completely stopped. One of them stopped right as I was trying to go past City Hall. One of them stopped right in front of me, put the hazard lights on, lady hops out the driver's side door and just skitters off towards City Hall. Yeah. I don't know what it is about specifically downtown St. Louis where everyone who exists in that space thinks that their hazard lights are a create free parking space button. Like, all I have to do is, hey, my hazard lights are on. I can do whatever I want. I can literally stop in the middle of the far right lane on Tucker and just stop dead and leave my car there and park while I go conduct whatever it is I'm conducting at City Hall. Yeah, I've hit the create free parking space button.
Yeah. And the thing that's the the worst about it is, well, there's a lot of things that are worst about it. The almost starting accidents is the worst part of it. But how hard is it to just circle the block and pull off to a curb? How hard is that? It'll take you 30 seconds to do it. But that 30 seconds is so important to you that you're going to risk other people being involved in a car accident because you're doing something stupid.
If I were the mayor, you know what we're doing with that Rams money?
I am
hiring a small fleet of tow trucks that just circle downtown, just up and down the roads.
Always
and
moving.
If we see you stop there with your hazard lights on and you're not in the car, you're out of here, bud.
Well, see, this is why I think it's not about downtown. It's about the people. Because there's nothing about, if I change cities or if I go from Wheeler's house to my house or what, I don't think like new rules. I think it's just that downtown has a bunch of people.
No, I disagree. It's because it's downtown. Those same people aren't going to do that in Clayton.
No, because they're
going
to get a ticket.
Exactly. They do it downtown because you can do it downtown.
Yeah, that's a valid point.
They take full advantage of the fact that there's nothing down here to deter you from doing
it. We could all do this. We just choose not to because we have basic decency.
Yes.
But they're doing it because there's no consequence for doing it. It's just like last week we were talking about the people who park in the turn lane so they can go eat at KFC.
Yep.
When have you ever seen anyone get a ticket?
Never.
But it's allowed.
Because we don't patrol downtown.
Jill's saying, are those delivery people? Sounds kind of like how mail truck operates. No.
No, they're not.
They're not.
They're normies in normal cars.
You're being too kind and empathetic. No, these people do not deserve the kindness and empathy.
They are
worse than criminals.
Yeah, it's the simplest thing. They know there are not going to be any consequences, and they don't care about anyone else. I'm going to do what's best for me because I know there won't be a consequence.
But yeah, I don't agree that it's like, and you only find that type of person in downtown St. Louis. Like, no, it's just that type of person knows that downtown St. Louis is a safe space for them to behave however they'd like.
You know, another big one is the completely unannounced U-turn in the middle of the street.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've made U-turns. But if I'm going to do it, I'm going to make sure it's safe. I'm going to make sure the guy behind me knows I'm going to do it. And then people will just, it happened to me this morning, coming down Market, just like, whoop, just gone.
It's Gotham City down here, man.
We need a Batman.
It's almost like in other parts of the region, there are deterrents to these behaviors. And maybe we could adopt some of those strategies.
Yeah. That was a weird giggle, wasn't it? Tell you guys about... put a period at the end of the sentence, so we're just talking about downtown and cars and people being idiots. And we started because we're down here every day, and I've been down here every day since 1990 when I started working at the old Boatman's Bank Tower when I was a lawyer. And Wheels found a website that tells you how the city police are staffed. And evidently, there are supposed to be between 8 and 10 patrol cars downtown at any given time, right?
That's what it said.
What a joke.
Sorry, it might have said between 5 and 10, but whatever.
I mean, here's the truth. I'm here literally 5 days a week, sometimes 6 when I go to a Cardinals game or something during the summer. I might see a police car patrolling that it's not like parked at, you know, the downtown, you know, there's a bunch of police cars. I might see a police car, I want to be realistic, every other day. But there are many, many days that you don't see one at all. Would you guys agree with that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, I don't see this as a knock on police officers or the way
they don't
have the numbers.
As far as I know, they don't decide like, I'm not going to go out today.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a policy thing or a staffing thing. And again, it only becomes a story when someone gets hurt.
Yeah.
Thankfully, haven't had a really big thing downtown lately, right? But, like, it's not that we don't see all of these incidents that could turn into that. With what, I mean, the U-turns, running red lights, parking where you're not supposed to park, driving in the bicycle lane. People are literally driving. It's a divided lane. It's got a barrier, and people are driving in the bicycle lane. And I can't. I mean, have you? I may be wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know that I can ever think of seeing someone pulled over downtown St. Louis.
Phil, it's a good one.
Like pulled over to the curb with a police car there, writing a ticket. I can't recall ever seeing it. It doesn't mean it's never happened. Just saying I haven't seen it. And I'm down here 5 days a week.
Yeah. Look what you started, Andrew.
Good job.
I know. I've actually been pulled over downtown.
Have you?
For the plates, yeah, back in 2021.
Okay.
I got pulled over in front. It was actually a terrible experience. I got pulled over in front of this building, blocking the entrance.
Oh, no.
And I tried
to remember that. I tried to reason with the cop, like, hey, can we just follow me in? I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to go right to that spot right there. Follow right behind me. I just need to get out of the way. Yeah. People are trying to get home. They're trying to get to work.
Yeah.
And he, like, screamed at me, and he threatened to.
Well, what else happened?
Well, he said, stay in the car. Do not get out of the car for any reason. And I got out of the car to tell him, dude, we gotta get out. I have to move this car. And he got increasingly mad, and he touched his gun. He didn't pull it. He touched it. Put his hand on it.
What it's kind of a key part of the story. He's like, he was so mad at me for whatever reason. It's like, well, you don't yeah. leave your car yeah, during
when,
a traffic
when they say
stop.
Stay there, you stay there.
He was stressing me out.
That doesn't matter. You stay there.
I also wanted to know why he cared so much about my out-of-state expired license plate. It's not his tax money that get affected.
That always goes over well with cops, too.
Yeah. Why do you even care? I'm sure that was really well-received.
Well, he was like, okay, he didn't handle it the most professional officer way either. There was a lot of like, I don't care.
Well, yeah.
Remember, were you in the car?
I bring the best out of people.
Were you in the car when we got pulled over by that cop who was a fan of the show?
No, I don't think so.
No?
I think that was like close.
I think it was close.
Yeah. It's the only time I've been pulled over.
Because it was close, because Close was really, really mad about
it. Yeah, he was mad.
He was furious. Yeah. Because he was like, you're finally going to get what you deserve for driving like that. And then the cop pulled up and he goes, oh my God, hey. Mr. Dave Glover, it's a pleasure to meet you. Close was like, oh my God.
Hi, Dave, I get it.
It's basically like that.
I forgot about that. Oh my God, I love that story so much.
He apologized.
That's right. And Close was like, Close was like, do not apologize to him.
And he literally said that to the cop. He goes, don't apologize. Don't apologize to him.
I love that story.
I probably could have had Close arrested.
You should have said, hey, could you take care of this guy for me?
On KMOX. Dave Murray joins us, brought to you by the Saliga Heating and Cooling Weather Center. Hello, Dave.
Hello there. Andrew, pay attention. Right now, you get stopped. Hands on the wheel or on your dashboard. Always visible. Never get out of the car and always be polite. Three things to always remember. I don't care if you think you were right or wrong. Doesn't matter. Does not matter. You're lucky your butt wasn't pulled in.
Everybody got to cry about it.
It's for your own safety, really.
I mean,
yeah.
You know
what
I mean?
For everybody's safety. Being polite will be amazing to you of what you can get out of.
Yeah, and you can always, whatever you're dealing with, you can deal with in court.
I want to make something clear. I've been pulled over many times. I am very polite and kind to police officers, so everyone can.
Good. All the time.
Dave Hines can take a deep friggin' breath because no one asked him anyway. So I had one bad experience with a cop one time in downtown St. Louis, and that's kind of the point that I was getting at. I am very kind to everyone that I come across, and Dave is correct. You can get out of a lot of things by being nice.
Yes.
I remember one time, I've told this story before, I won't tell the whole story, but right before graduating law school, I was at a bar, I was at Off-Broadway, and my friend punched a hole in the wall, and they called the cops, and they locked the door and made us stay, and the cops showed up, and I was talking to this probably 55-year-old, gigantic, white, kind of fat cop. And I was just, you know, I'm 2 weeks from graduating from law school. And I'm like, this is false imprisonment and blah, 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 blah. And I'm going to own this place. Hey, you cop, you drink for free because I'm wasted. And he pulls his billy club out.
Ooh.
And he lays it on my forehead. And he says, I'm so sick of you. He said, if you say one more thing, I'm going to split your wig. And I had a wig.
He said,
so,
how did
yeah.
you know?
Yeah, I'm like, no, it's that obvious. But talk about going from 60 to zero. I was just like, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I mean, when he touched the gun, I got back in the car. I didn't.
Yeah, I bet you did.
Right. I didn't advance on him.
Right.
It's he touched the gun. I was like, all right, fine.
And I'm not sitting here saying, like, you are so rude. I'm just saying, like, dude, for your own safety, you gotta.
Yeah, no, I was not trying to make him look like the bad guy here. I did not handle the situation as well. I mean, he didn't handle it perfectly, but neither did I, for sure.
My favorite story was a long time ago, Monday Night Football, driving from the old station, which was by the arena, the old arena, and still the arena, I guess, and although it got blown up. And I'm driving home. It was after Monday Night Football. It was probably 1 o'clock in the morning, one of our favorite nights of doing late news. And nobody on the road, and I was speeding. There's no question I was speeding. Going home, I was probably doing 80 on 40, probably, maybe a little higher. And I had personalized plates. And, you know, the police know your car.
Was it
Storm 2?
Oh, I was going to say Thunder Storm and Lightning.
Two.
I was almost right.
But you also know
Dr. Badass.
That the police know your car. They know your car.
He said Wild Intentions.
He's trying to tell a story.
Yeah. He said Wild Intentions like our 80s band.
So I get lit up. I get lit up basically at 40 and, oh, I don't know, by Brentwood on 40 in that area. And I'm like, oh, no. Because I look down at the speedometer and I'm like, I'm screwed. I'm just screwed. And I pull over, police pull over, put the big spotlight on, and all of a sudden I just hear his intercom. He never gets out of the car. He goes, Dave, slow it down. Now get out of here.
Wow.
That guy's awesome.
That's pretty great.
That guy's awesome.
Yeah, I like that. I'll send you a message, TV guy.
That's right.
What did Next he do when he got out of the car so and walked nice. Towards him?
No, yeah.
did he get mad?
Why do you think Dave was giving you the advice he did?
That's right.
He learned the hard exactly. way.
Exactly.
What I have learned is that I need a license plate that says, I'm Dave Murray.
But in the car you're driving, they would know instantly it's not.
Wow.
Oh.
Ouch. He doesn't know this. I have a nice car now.
Oh, yeah.
He got a new car.
Yeah, I got an Equinox.
All right. No rats. No
well, I don't want to say no rats.
They've graduated from mice to rats now.
I don't know about no rats. Definitely less rats.
You never want to, you know, never say
spiders?
Never.
No.
Exactly.
No. You got any spiders in there?
You know what? It is the damnedest thing. I found a huge spider in that car like 3 days ago. My yard, my area of...
Are you bringing them in on your body?
No, my neighborhood is really lousy with spiders. My neighborhood's really lousy with spiders.
Lousy with spiders?
We have tons and tons
open?
Of spiders. We try to treat for spiders and stuff, and it just doesn't. They're stronger than the treatment. I think we're turning them into mutants. We've got a bunch of Spider-Man mice and spiders crawling around, and they will get in like through the cracks in the door and stuff.
Jeez, your life! I swear.
I know.
Between the late night acting drunk at Casey's and the hammock and the mice in the bags. Like,
I'm so sick of that hammock. I got it. The thing is, we can't get rid of the hammock because the hammock has become the cat-free safe space because the cat's terrified of the hammock. She won't go on it. She won't go near it.
Okay.
So if we need to keep something safe from her, like, messing with it, like, we can't keep our, like, if we, like, when we were getting ready for, like, tax season, we couldn't keep the documents anywhere because she loves to, like, rip up and bite paper because she's a little goblin.
So you keep your tax documents in a hammock.
And the hammock, because that's become, like, the cat-free zone.
You don't have a drawer?
Well, it's easy to forget file. This.
Drawers are full of spiders.
Drawers are full of spiders, cabinets full of mice. So all we got is a hammock.
And the mice eat the paper too, so, you know.
Oh, and so, well, it's easy to, like, forget where stuff is if you put it in a drawer, like, out of sight, out of mind. So we want to keep it in an important place.
I think you'd look for important stuff in a drawer.
No, the important stuff now has to go in the stupid hammock.
I mean, in fairness,
so tired of that thing taking up half my living room.
In fairness, if someone was trying to rip your stuff off, they would definitely not think to look in a hammock.
They wouldn't look in the hammock.
Right.
I'm sorry to especially keep if it's asking a cat about burglar. This, but is there any indication of why Gigi is so terrified of the hammock?
Trying to think of a joke, but I can't come up with one.
Pretty good guess would be she tried jumping on it once and it moved and
like
scared her.
Yeah. She won't. So I have like a rocking recliner kind of thing. That's where I sit usually.
Everyone's
she
got won't, a picture in their head right now.
She won't go up. It's just like a big lazy boy recliner. She won't go up on that because any movement.
So she wants the stability.
Yeah. It just freaks her out and she runs off.
What's in the hammock as we speak?
Lots of stuff. Well, my winter coat is in there because it ended up there at one point when I was. Now it's a closet because I was looking for other stuff in a closet and I put that on there and then there it remained.
So no one lays in anymore.
No, that thing hasn't been laid in probably.
Are there corn dogs?
Year, year and a half.
Corn dogs.
And so it's mostly just like important documents that we need or, you know.
Like you do.
Yeah. Or winter coat.
The nuclear football's there.
You always need one of those.
I've been digging up stuff that I'm selling. And so some of that stuff is in there because I know that that's like a safe, soft place to keep it. And then I put the coat over it to protect it from sun damage.
Sun damage?
Spiders.
Yeah, if something's going to be in there for like an extended period of time, sun comes through the window, you could have sun damage on it.
To documents?
To
no,
documents.
He's talking about the things he's about to sell. Like,
cards,
I bet he got some collectibles.
Collectibles. Yeah. Okay. Video game cases, things like that. So, you want to keep those safe from sun damage.
I'm sorry, just to drill down, put it in the drawer, forget it forever, put it under coat in hammock. I know exactly,
where it is.
I know exactly where it is. It's in the hammock. It's in the hammock, aka the bane of my existence, and also kind of the most important thing in the house at this point. I think I got to go before the hammock does. I don't have all the budget books and tax documents. That belongs to the hammock.
I gotta tell you, everyone in this show will be fired before Andrew. Like, how do you give this up? You can't just go find an Andrew.
This is the exact same conversation I had with my wife yesterday. I'm like,
Yesterday.
I'm like, hammock's got to go. She's like, we can't give up the hammock. How do you give up the hammock?
She's pro hammock.
No, she's ready for the hammock to be. I'm just kidding. She's ready for the hammock to be gone, too. It takes up so much space. And you know what?
Okay, from an
interior decorating standpoint, let me tell you, it don't look the best.
The feng shui.
Having a giant hammock in the middle of the living room.
Okay.
There's a reason not everyone does this. When I brought it in, I was like, why doesn't everyone do this? I figured out pretty quick why everyone doesn't. Go on.
Yeah, the only ones you did was Skipper and Gilligan. So, paint a picture. You walk through your front door.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the hammock?
Immediately to your left.
Okay.
You are practically stubbing your toe on the hammock base.
First stop, Hammock Town.
Yes. If you step into my front door and do like a sideways flop jump, you will land into the hammock.
Which would be bad, right? Because all the important documents
are
there.
Crunchy.
Yeah, and I would hate for you to crush all of my tax documents.
My valuables.
And cash filings.
Jewelry.
Yeah, I would hate for you to.
Collectibles. It's got to be a big hammock.
Sterling silver pocket watches. Really anything of value.
there's guys listening right now. Hey, Andrew's house, easy. We know exactly where the hammock is.
No kidding.
Just takes two of us.
All you gotta
one
do is
on each end,
unhook each end and
go.
You got a bag.
Got
yeah.
It's tailor-made for burglars.
You know what? Whatever they would get, I will just pay them for taking the hammock. So it really kind of washes
off. All right.
It really kind of, as long as they take the hammock too.
Did we do the weather?
No.
No, we have not.
Not a bit. Not a bit.
Well, let's do it really quick. Beautiful again today. Tomorrow, more unsettled. Kind of a changeable sky. There will be scattered showers and thunderstorms around, especially during the afternoon. It's not a severe setup. Could be some heavy downpours of rain, though, as we go through the afternoon into the evening. 70s to near 80 degrees. We may not touch 80 degrees tomorrow. Scattered showers and thunderstorms around Friday night. Again, nothing severe. 68. Saturday, partly sunny for the most part. There could be a couple of leftover showers first thing in the morning, but I don't think there will be much. It's warmer. It's more humid. 89 degrees. Sunday, sunny, hot, and humid. 96. Would not be surprised if we hit 100 degrees on Monday.
Oof.
There you go.
All right.
Question. I've asked things like this before, but, you know, I'm always concerned because my air conditioner is old. If I turn it off tonight or tomorrow and enjoy, you know, the Saturday, and then I turn it back on, is it better just to leave it on, like as far as like damage and wear and tear to the air conditioner?
I don't know the answer to that. You know, I do know who you could call is Saliga Heating and Cooling.
There you go.
Look at him. He's the best.
There you go.
He's the best.
Saliga would know. I turned my AC off last night.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
I can ask my dad if you want. He used to do that for a living.
Yeah, why don't you do that?
I'll ask him tonight.
Very nice. Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it.
All righty.
DG S and Camo Wax, a few minutes shy of 3 p.m. We will sign off at 3:15 and turn you over to the Cardinals pregame, and then the game is at 4:15. Can I say something?
Yeah.
We are really good at doing 1 and 2 hour shows.
I know. I was just thinking that.
I think we've discovered our whole thing.
I was just thinking that.
Counterpoint. We're also pretty good at 4 hour shows. I think better than most.
He's not wrong, but there's just something magic about getting to go home after 2 hours.
Yeah, it's like early release at school. You know, halfway through the day, you're like, ah, this is better.
It does kind of feel like field trip day.
Yeah.
Like we went out, we had that delicious lunch. Dave took us out for delicious lunch, got us some treats at Missouri Baking Company, and then we just had to come back here and just do 2 hours. Feels like a field trip day.
Mm. It is a field trip day. Let's call it field trip day. Our field trip was to the hill.
What a lunch that was.
So pretty good.
My ravioli was so good. You guys didn't comment on the sauce.
Well, yeah, we did.
What?
We all said it was good.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
If I didn't say it, I intended to say that is like the best sauce. I think I didn't comment on the sauce because I was unbelievably jealous that I hadn't ordered that. Because as soon as all of our food, like mine was delicious, but like the short rib ravioli thing and the cream was so like over the top.
Dude, it was yeah, we should have so known. Good.
Like next level delicious.
Well, but then I was like, oh, maybe they didn't like it as much as me, but.
No, it was unbelievable.
Going around the internet, in a zombie apocalypse, who do you want as your companion? And this isn't like your spouse or your kids. It's like what job guy do you want? Do you want a doctor? Do you want an MMA fighter?
I think a doctor.
Survival expert.
Doctor would be good. I definitely think, as Kevin's saying, I'm trying to think like more practically. Like maybe
like
somebody.
A hunter might be the best, like if I had to pick specifics.
Hunter would be great. Even something like electrician or something to make sure that we can keep power on, stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I know an electrician doesn't create electricity, but like, you know, maybe they'd know the tricks.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I definitely would go with the survivalist slash hunter because I don't have those skills, and I would want someone that has skills I don't have, because then you can kind of, you know, be a team.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, the end of the world is clearly here. ESPN's Pat McAfee has announced his debut country album.
Oh. I don't really know anything about old Pat.
You're better off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan.
There's part of me that's okay with him, and there's part of me that hates something things about him, because he's not all one thing, but he's a lot.
He's enough of the one
he's
thing
a lot
that
of
ruins
everything,
anything
and I
else
get,
he has.
I yes. get why people don't get it. I don't watch his shows, because it's not my style of thing. They're too much, you know.
Yeah, people yell about sports, so they don't like you.
No, that's the problem. They don't. They jack around. That's all they do.
Ooh, his album is titled The Diary of a Polarizing Figure.
Yeah.
Woo.
That's kind of fun.
Way to go. In other entertainment news, I hope you guys haven't heard this yet. I want to be the one to tell you. Elon Musk promises to invest $100 million to create a true Odyssey film through Grok Imagine, a full-length movie of the Odyssey that is historically accurate and true to the art of Homer.
I thought he was also going to pay Mel Gibson to be creatively involved.
Someone suggested that.
Okay.
And he said, like, great idea, but he didn't commit to it, so.
Have fun. Why not? Go ahead and do it, Elon. You've got $100 million.
So I would love to know what a historically accurate Cyclops looks like. Historically accurate for fiction is pretty hilarious. Like, I want a historically accurate Lord of the Rings. It's not historically accurate, just accurate to the story.
Did you guys see Andy Serkis's comments about Lord of the Rings recently? Did you see this, Andrew?
I didn't.
No, I don't think so.
Because he was asked about how Lord of the Rings has been criticized for not being diverse enough. And he was like, yeah, I think we just have to take that criticism. Like, we're not just going to like shoehorn in something.
It was just how the story was written when it was written.
Right. It was just interesting, like, for him to have that take. I don't know. Obviously, my take on it is quite half-baked, but...
No, I think that is really interesting, because he has become, in a lot of ways, very much like the steward of the franchise. There's a really excellent series of audiobooks that was released a couple of years ago that's fully narrated by him. Obviously, he's got a massive hand in this Gollum movie that's coming out and the future movies and stuff. So it's interesting to hear someone who has sort of become the de facto steward of what Lord of the Rings is in 2026.
Yeah.
And just be like, yeah, you know what? It is what it is. It's an adaptation of something that was, you know, 75 years ago or whatever at this point. Like, if it's not diverse enough, that's a great point, but it is what it is.
It's the story.